All right, let's go to Parado. He is on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Johnny, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. Good to talk with you, too. How are you?
I've never been better, and I value your inquiry. We have a 6 p.m. deadline here today. Let's start with Key Brian Hayes. What did you think of them being able to trade him, and how do you look back on the Key Brian Hayes era?
Well, the surprising part for me was they were able to get the Reds to take on the rest of his contract. I thought if they were going to trade Key Brian, they were going to have to eat a little bit of that contract at least, but they were able to do that. It just didn't work out. It's kind of like I wrote in my column for Pittsburgh Baseball Now. Some relationships just run their course sometimes. No acrimony, no arguments or anything. I think Key Brian got frustrated here. He butted heads with the hitting coaches sometimes. And I think the Pirates knew they needed somebody. I mean, he's hit 6 home runs in the last 2 years combined. And you need more than that from your third baseman, even though he's a terrific defender. I mean, you can't go with that lack of production. So I think it's a benefit both sides. The Pirates probably wait to the offseason. They need to go out and get a third baseman. I'm not a big Jared Triolo everyday guy. But I think Key Brian definitely needed a change of scenery, and we'll see how it works for him in Cincinnati.
Had you ever before Key Brian seen somebody in all these years covering the Pirates have a meal during live play, Johnny, like he did when he opened the pack of sunflower seeds with a man running behind him? That was a first for me.
No, that was not a real good look. And, I know the Pirates downplayed it and said it was no big deal, but Derek Shelton downplayed everything like that and said it was no big deal when he was the manager. He just seemed disengaged a lot of times. And I like Key Brian. He's very quiet. He's a little hard to get to know. But, I had a relationship with his father when his dad played here, so that kind of helped get, break the ice when Key Brian first came into the organization. But he's just very quiet. He's very hard to read. But you could just tell the few times that he was even in the clubhouse when the media was allowed in this year, he just looked like he was miserable, like it was time to move on.
Mm. All right. So I think of Neil Walker's career. He goes from catcher to third. And I remember visiting him at Indy and doing a piece on him and McCutchen where they were down there. And the word was he was ready defensively at third base. Then he switches to second base. So I'm wondering, that leads me to, are there people in this organization, I don't know, Nick Gonzalez, Termar Johnson, Connor Griffin, someone else you can think of, where they can reconfigure the infield and find a third baseman that's already in their organization and somebody else to play short and somebody else to play second?
I think that Gonzalez could play third base. I really do. He's got a pretty good arm, and he's got quick reflexes. They have a bunch of, maybe Leover Peguero could be a possibility. I know these aren't, like, very exciting names, but Nick York, another guy who looked good in a little bit of time. He was up in the big leagues at the end of last year, but it's fallen off the face of the earth, it seems like, at Indianapolis this year. He's another possibility. So they have possibilities. Triolo would be at the top of the list, and I'm not sold that he's an everyday third baseman. He's really kind of like Key Brian Hayes light, a good defender that doesn't hit. So I think it's a position they're probably going to have to address, if not here at the deadline today, certainly in the offseason.
Talking to John Parado, longtime baseball scribe, about the trade deadline. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Johnny, should they trade Bednar and Keller in pursuit of bats? And a very different question is, will they trade one or both?
I think Bednar is more likely to go because you have a lot of teams still interested in him. I know the Rangers are very much feel he could be the last piece for them. They've really come after a bad first half. They've really been good since the All-Star break and got back in the thick of the race in the American League, both in the West Division and the Wild Card. the Yankees are interested, the Dodgers, the Tigers. I mean, there are the Padres. Well, they just got Mason Miller from the Athletics here a few minutes ago. So, I mean, there are teams out there that want him. It's a matter of Ben Cherington can get them in a bidding war and get as much as they can for him. Personally, I'm not really sold on trading a top-flight closer, and especially a local guy who's a big fan favorite. I mean, you put your fans through so much disappointment all the time. Why not latch on to somebody who actually wants to play in Pittsburgh? But I get the feeling Keller's not going to be traded unless somebody really bowls the Pirates over right at the deadline at 6 o'clock or right before 6. I get the feeling, talking to people from other teams, the Pirates aren't very keen on trading him. But I'll put all this with the caveat, as always, things are so subject to change from a minute to minute here in these last few hours before the deadline that you can never truly predict what's going to happen.
Would you trade Keller? I suppose it depends on what he can fetch. But if he fetches you, we were talking about Yandy Diaz. We were talking about Stephen Kwan. We were talking about guys blocked in AAA like Owen Casey or, I don't know, Spencer Jones from the Yankees. Somebody of that ilk. Would you trade Keller?
I mean, Toronto has an interesting guy in Addison Barger who can play all over. And he's had a really good year. And I know the Blue Jays We're interested in Keller quite a bit, though I don't know if that has changed because the Blue Jays here about an hour ago got Shane Bieber from the Guardians, so they're probably out of the market now for any more starting pitchers. So, yeah, I mean, you've got to get some bats back. And, I mean, guys who can make an impact, you know. I mean, like for next year at the very latest. And, you know, if you don't get what you want for Keller, I'd hold on to him and try again in the winter. You know, a lot of teams would still be interested in him, maybe even more teams that aren't in contention now that feel they can be in contention in 26. And again, he's got 3 years and $56 million left on his contract. And for most teams, that's not that big of an expenditure for a guy who's a number two or number three starter.
Limits, I would hate to leave you out of this conversation.
Thank you, Joe. A question about Bednar here, Johnny. I wonder what they could realistically get back for him. If they package Bednar and Santana together, do you think that they could acquire like a hitter like Casey or somebody who's knocking on the door in AAA or maybe somebody that's been in the big leagues for a year but hasn't played that long, similar to Spencer Horwitz, but a better player than Horwitz with a better profile?
Yeah, I think it's a possibility if they package them both. I don't think they'll get that one player straight up in a trade for either Bednar or Santana. But, you know, the team that seemed most likely to trade for both of them were the Phillies. They've been scouting them heavily for a couple of months now, the Pirates bullpen. And now the Phillies went out and got Johan Duran yesterday from the Twins. So now their need for relievers is no longer so acute. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they get. Again, they're not forced into trading either one of these guys. They both are under club control, in Bednar's case, for one more year, and Santana for three. So, you know, if I'm Ben Cherington, I don't panic and just say, hey, I have to get rid of these guys. I'm going to take whatever I can get. So, you know, we'll see what happens. It'll be, it was last year a very eventful last couple hours for the trade deadline for the Pirates, and we'll see if that happens again this year. I think it could. But again, and you know, I always stress this, there's so many moving parts in on this day that it's hard to truly know for sure what's going to happen.
Johnny, I've been saying, writing for a while, that Ben Cherington might be the worst general manager in the history of Pittsburgh sports. I'm assuming that you thought he should have been fired along with Derek Shelton. Am I correct in that?
I thought it should have been at the end of last season.
Yeah.
And when they waited and they got rid of Shelton 38 games into this year, you basically punted on this season. I think Don Kelly's done a good job as Shelton's replacement, but you punted on this season. And now I'm not 100% convinced that Cherington won't be the general manager next year. I would think that Bob Nutting would want to move on, but I'm getting vibes that it's not necessarily a done deal, and he could be back in 26, which off his track record here, I mean, you're going to set yourself back another year in 26. So I think they need to make a change in the baseball operations. I really, really do. And I do hope if the next GM, if there is a next GM, would give Don Kelly a fair shot, you know, to manage or at least, you know, interview for the job instead of immediately just saying, I want my own guy.
How long is Charrington signed for? Do you know?
There's conflicting reports on this. I believe, and they keep this a guarded secret, which I don't understand, but I believe he signed through 27, so you'd have to pay him 2 years of salary if you fire him at the end of the year, which, I mean, at some point, you just have to kind of cut bait and do it. And I, you know, Bob Nutting is very conservative when it comes to making moves like this. And I think it's not just a money thing sometimes. He's a very loyal person. He likes people who are loyal to him. And Charrington has never complained about the lack of money or what have you from Nutting. So I think that's why Charrington could be back next year, because I think Bob genuinely likes him. And I think Nutting still thinks there's a chance that Charrington can turn this thing around, though I certainly think it's a slim chance.
Limits, may I engage Johnny in a game of free association?
Please.
Johnny, you know how it goes. Very quick questions, yep, and very quick answers. Even one word, should you choose to use that. You ready?
Yep.
Charrington will be back next year.
No.
Don Kelly will be back.
Maybe.
Ooh. Am I crazy if I say the rotation will be Skeens, Chandler, Oviedo, Falter, and either Burroughs or Ashcraft?
I think Keller will be there.
Okay.
But the rest all are, yeah, certainly candidates.
Spencer Horwitz is the answer at first base.
No.
Do they address that this offseason?
They never have any other offseason, so I would leave it at that.
How would you classify Henry Davis at this point?
Perplexing.
Who's going to be the catcher on opening day next season?
Ooh. I'll go with Henry.
You are confident that this is just an aberration for Brian Reynolds and he'll be back to normal next year?
Pretty much so.
Termar Johnson is still somebody that is highly regarded and will hit for them someday.
No.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Is he going to make the majors at any point?
Oh, yeah, I think he will, but I don't think he'll be an impact player.
When will Connor Griffin get here?
I would say 2027 at the latest, and maybe even at the end of next season.
Percent chance he rockets through the system the rest of this year and is on the opening day roster?
25%.
Holy bird milk. Wow, Limits, do you have a question you'd like to ask at the end here?
That's a lot more than I thought.
Yeah.
Percent chance that Bednar is traded?
75.
Santana?
60.
Tommy Pham?
90, if there's interest.
IKF?
90.
O'Neill Cruz?
10.
Brian Reynolds?
30.
Holy horse milk. Johnny, I have no further questions. That was incredible.
Well, thank you. You know, quick answers. It's the great, late, great John Maynard always said, give quick answers and people won't know whether you're making it up or not.
I like that a lot. Thank you, Johnny.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome, guys. Thanks for having me.
What an incredible man he is, huh, Limits?
He's the best. That was great.
I don't know where to start with that.
Yeah.
I think we need to go back to that in the next segment. I don't even know what just happened.
We could go back to free association and break it down one by one.
Charrington, we don't know how long he signed, but he says through 27 he gets vibes that Charrington could be back next year.
But he doesn't think that Charrington will be back next year when you asked.
Well, in the end, despite the vibes, yes, he says no. to him. Tarmar Johnson.
What a disappointment. The fourth overall
pick. Oh, my. If they blew it on that, then that's, oh, boy. All right. Brian Reynolds, he didn't sound overly confident, but said he would be. And then Henry Davis, perplexing, he called. And then what did he say on Keller? He feels like Keller's going to be here.
Yeah, he thinks Keller's staying, yes.
And what did he say on Bednar getting traded?
75%.
We have to talk about all of this coming back. I wanted to do cuts and clips, but we're going to have to save that for later in the show.
We will have time for that, too.
Who do we have at noon?
We have cuts and clips at noon.
There you go.
Noah Hyles at 110.
There you go. You're on top of things, Limits, and I give you credit for that.
You know, Joe, well, sometimes when you return, sometimes you need a little bit of a warm-up period, you know, where you got to stretch.
No, you stepped right back in the game and started hitting shots, didn't you?
I did, but were my shots landing? I was Key Brian Hayes. I was making contact, but I was grounding out to shortstop. Now I'm finding gaps. Now I'm back in the game, Joe.
You're Tommy Pham for the last month and a half. Listen to the Hardly Ever Pomp and Every Other Week Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. Johnny was on that. Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let's get back to some of these things that Johnny presented there about Bednar, about Keller, about next year's rotation. He thinks Keller will be in it. All of that. Talk about that next.